Hey y'all, this is Bud Elliott, and welcome to another edition of the Nolcast. Florida State lost today to NC State, 27-21, and people aren't happy. They dropped 0-2, the first 0-2 start since, I think it's been 20 years now, or maybe a little more. Not what you wanted to see out there. Some good, some bad, and as always, this is the Instant Reaction Podcast, so we don't edit this. It just goes up instantly. It's sponsored, of course, by Louisiana Hot Sauce and Madison Social. They do a great job, been loyal supporters of us, and we're very thankful for that. Let's get into this. Obviously, not the result you want. I think it raises a lot of questions that I know we'll raise more throughout the week. But first, we got to start, I think, with James Blackman. True freshman quarterback, been on campus for just a couple months now, and I thought he played fairly well. You know, he had some mistakes, certainly. Started out 1-for-4. The finish from him wasn't that strong. But overall, 22 of 38 for 278 with one touchdown, no interceptions. To my recollection, no real balls that should have been intercepted. That's pretty solid there. But wasn't enough, ultimately. I think you saw some things in him, though, that I really like. And I know people want me to go all negative on this, but I don't think your realistic goals for the season now are dashed. You can still have a good year relative to what you've lost. I said last week that I thought this team would lose three games once they lost Francois. So maybe adjust that down by one or something. But you still have a great chance to win the state title. You still have a good chance to see some young talent develop, maybe. And you have a chance to see Jimbo Fisher evaluate some of these players and hopefully some of the coaches on this staff. But Blackman made a number of really nice throws down the field. I thought most of the throws he made were in rhythm, on-time throws that gave receivers the ability to run after the catch, which was nice to see. And I honestly don't think I can't say that Florida State would not have won this game with DeAndre Francois in there, but if you switch him out, I'm not entirely sure that they do. Now, there's probably some stuff with protections that Francois would have got better. Obviously, Blackman had the fumble. He also had, they had to waste a timeout one time when he didn't see the play clock winding down. A couple times the team didn't get lined up correctly. Now, Jimbo Fisher said that was not on James Blackman, but it's hard to know if he was just covering for his young QB. And we saw some positive things out of Cam Akers today at running back. I thought that was good. Jacques Patrick, for some reason, continues to be used a lot. Maybe that's pass protection, I think. I'd like to give those guys the benefit of the doubt that they generally know what they're doing with as far as who to play. And even Akers showed, hey, that there was a third down that he should have picked up. And he kind of danced instead of just rushing forward with the ball, and Florida State had to punt. But overall, if you're an FSU fan, I think you come away disappointed from the loss. But unless you were just kind of one of these FSU's going to win every game type folks, which I don't think most of y'all listening to this show are, I don't know that this changes your outlook on the season that much necessarily. And in fact, I think you saw some encouraging things from James Blackman. James Blackman played better than I think any quarterback from Florida has in the last couple of years. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's a star or anything, but he certainly showed a lot of stuff, particularly the deep ball accuracy. That's just something that's very difficult to teach, and he did that well. Now, some of the short stuff will have to be cleaned up a little bit, but I thought for the most part he made the right decision. So that's very encouraging. He also ran well, had that fumble. Where it looked like he might have been down, but probably not. Not enough evidence to overturn the call on the field. Speaking of calls, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but that was a really badly officiated game. I mean, from the missed face mask to the pass interference call on Derwin James' interception, just a ridiculous number of missed calls. Jacob Hugh gets tossed out of this game for targeting to the head when all he was doing was just sticking his arms up trying to bat down a pass that a receiver was throwing. Meanwhile, James Blackman probably is targeted twice in this game in front of the ref, and nothing's called. You know, they claimed NC State got a timeout off before a false start occurred, and yet I'm not so sure they did. And NC State makes a crucial third down pickup there on 3rd and 9 instead of 3rd and 14 because the penalty was taken off the board. This was Jeff Flanagan's crew, I know Jimbo Fisher and FSU have had issues with him before, most notably the 2011 Miami game. That is the game, if you recall, was the Nigel Bradham hit game. So, look, the refs aren't the reason why Florida State lost the game, but I do think that if the game was officiated a little more evenly, or just better, more accurately, that Florida State could have won the game. You know, Florida State did a lot of good things in this game. I think that's what I come away with. You know, they outgained NC State, 382 to 365 on a per play basis. That was 5-9 to 5-2. You know, that's solid there as far as that you're marching out gaining somebody. But where did they lose this? Well, a couple things. The defense gave up about a touchdown more than I thought they would give up. I mean, 365 yards is not a ton, but it's a little more than I thought they would. I predicted 27-20 FSU. So Florida State was a touchdown less than I thought NC State was a touchdown more. 1 for 6 in the red zone with touchdowns. I know if you look at the red zone stat, it says 5 for 6, but that's misleading because once the team gets down into the red zone, I happen to think that field goals are a win for the defense. I hate the red zone stat. It's not a good stat. Florida State was 1 for 6 scoring touchdowns in the red zone. That's how you get down there 6 times and you only score 21 total points. That's not good enough. They did not. They just didn't execute in the red zone. And then credit to NC State, who is a much better team than I think a lot of people realized. And we tried to talk about it this week. Hey, this NC State team, they're 2-1. They probably should be 3-0. They're pretty good. Very veteran, team. And I think that while their head coach may not be a great coach, I think they have pretty good position coaches. They did a really nice job in the red zone. I have to go back and watch to see exactly how they did it, to see if there was a pattern each time. But they bowed up. They didn't allow the ball to be run on them very much in the red zone. And they, for the most part, defended the pass pretty well down there too. But still, I think there's some positive stuff to take away from this game. I'm not BSing you. If Florida State had won by a touchdown or lost by a touchdown, what you really need to look at is the quality of play, which was not great, but it wasn't, I guess, quite as bad as some of the meltdown I'm seeing from folks on the Twitter account. And I know Twitter's kind of the lunatic fringe, but still, I was a little bit surprised at some of that. I thought the offensive line in the first half was really good, and I thought in the second half the NC State defensive line had the upper hand on them. In the first half, Blackman had all day to throw, and in the second half, he didn't. NC State made some good adjustments. That's an all-NFL defensive line. They're going to win a lot of battles this year, and they won more in the second half than they lost. And so I thought on the day, it was kind of an average day for the offensive line. I know people will obviously put every single hit on James Blackman on the feet of the offensive line, but that's just not the case. As we know, fans don't really evaluate offensive line play very well. It was kind of a mixed bag. Receivers not lining up right, making FSU waste timeouts, not running the right routes, dropping the ball. All those things hurt. Keith Gavin has won, perhaps, if you want to call it, 2 drops there on the penultimate series of the game, and that hurts as well. You got to help your quarterback out more. But the guy that had the beast of a game for you was Auden Tate. I mean, 9 catches, 138 yards, long of 51, but he not targeted 11 times, caught 9 of them. Noonie Murray targeted 11 times, caught 5 of them. That's kind of a major difference there. Auden Tate was beasting, and then he hurt his shoulder or collarbone or whatever. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. Certainly, he looked like he was in a lot of pain at first. If you're at home watching and a guy holds his arm like that, it's almost never the wrist. It's almost always the shoulder or collarbone, because if you let the arm hang, it hurts the joint more pain-wise. So that's why they kind of support it like that. And, if you ever hurt your shoulder, you don't actually rub your shoulder. You hold your arm to support it. So just a little medical trivia for you there. Rushing yards, 110. for NC State, 104 for Florida State. So they both go over 100. That's including sack yards, of which NC State had four sacks and Florida State only had one. Now's probably about as good a time as any to pivot. I do put the blame on both sides here, but I thought the defense should have been better than it was. And this is kind of twofold. Number one, I thought NC State had a very good game plan, and they executed it well. They had a lot of trickeration type stuff. They had a lot of misdirection and a lot of short passes. Ryan Finley, as we discussed on the show, is hard to sack because he gets the ball out so quickly, and he's very accurate, and he almost always finds the open guy and makes decisions. They didn't have a whole lot of long passes in the air today. And I think the longest they had in the air was maybe a 25-yarder. They did have a 71-yarder where, man-to-man, the guy's got to not eye-violate, and then Derwin James has got to make that tackle. So you have two just major busts there right before the half, which is kind of one of the major differences in the game there, with Derwin James not making the tackle and whoever that was on the coverage. It's man-to-man, so I don't really need you looking in the backfield there. That's disappointing from a defense that's as veteran as this defense is. We'll have to see what happens going forward with some of the injuries they suffered. I know, obviously, I mentioned Jacob Pugh ejected for the targeting. Matthew Thomas got hurt and did not return after he briefly came back in the second quarter. Over 5 yards of play, I feel like, to this NC State team at home is just not good. And then they also converted a number of third and fourth downs. You know, they were 6 of 13 on third and fourth. Florida State was 5 of 16. That's not a huge difference, but it did feel like NC State was always getting just enough. And I got to tell you, if I'm Jimbo Fisher, I'm kind of pissed at Charles Kelly and Bill Miller and having those guys just allow so many underneath passes to not be contested. I mean, it just felt like there weren't enough pass breakups. There weren't enough guys getting their hands on balls. And NC State, great job to negate Florida State's pass rush, but how many true pass breakups in this game can you remember? Now, I remember one, which is an interception that was called on a pretty questionable pass interference call there against Florida State, but you expect better from this defense. And you didn't get it. They also allowed the ball, I think, to be run on them too often in some key situations. And NC State was always just one step ahead of them. And I think you have to question this defensive coaching staff. Now, I know they had some major questions at linebacker once you had Thomas and some other guys go down and get hurt. I know Emmett Rice was puking on the sidelines. Not sure what that's about. But their running backs ran for what? 31 carries for 133, I think it was, or 143. Yeah, that's 4.6 a carry. I think for Florida State's defense, you should expect better than that. And they didn't. The NC State blocked it up pretty well in the run game. Look, so did Florida State in the run game. That's not saying they didn't, but just not enough. And the problem with it is, and look, we'll go big picture on Monday because I think there's some stuff to discuss, and I don't want to give it the half treatment without Ingram here, my co-host, and we need more time to do it, and we also don't want to tip off other shows as to what we're going to talk about. But the problem is, if you thought Florida State was gonna only lose three, I think you figured one of the losses would be at Clemson. And then the other loss would be because your freshman quarterback had a meltdown game. That didn't happen either here. I mean, I thought NC State was better. In my betting column, I took NC State. But damn, I think if I tell you, hey, guess what? James Blackman, 22 of 38 for 278, one touchdown and only one turnover. You're taking that, I think, and you're coming away winning, and so that's why it's so disappointing. Some of the poor situational football from Florida State. Jimbo Fisher, in my opinion, mishandling some end of game situations, end of half situations where he kicks a field goal with Ricky Aguayo with 12 seconds left from the 20 on third and 19. I think you got to give your guys a shot there. You, James Blackman has been putting the ball in very good spots all day. You got big receivers. Why not throw it up to them? Why do you recruit these guys if you're not going to try that? You know, maybe that'll give you a touchdown instead of a field goal. Would put you in a better position to win the game. If you don't get it, kick the field goal. That's fine. Just throw it to the end zone. It's not like the clock's running. And then at the end of the game, Jimbo deciding to, with no timeouts, by the way, no, zero timeouts, decided to kick deep instead of onside kicking. And that to me was kind of questionable. If they can get some of this stuff cleaned up, and I'm not sure that they will, but if they can, I think you got to be pretty excited about what you saw from James Blackman, not only for this year, though, but also for you know, for the future. And I'm not saying he's a superstar, and I know that people will make adjustments based off what he saw in this, or what he showed in this game, because previous to this, all they really had was his high school film to go on, and that's not much. But you know, if you can stop getting out coached, if you're Jimbo Fisher, and you know, right now I think he's 26. And he's 52-18 without Jameis, and 26-1 with Jameis. You know, if he can stop getting out coached by these teams that don't have as much talent as Florida State does, that would be really helpful to FSU season, because you got a quarterback who I think has some actual talent, and you might be able to do something really good with him down the line. If you can get some of these other aspects of the team fixed, you might still be able to have a pretty good season and go to a good bowl game and see some of these guys develop. But you know, if you lose the team because your message is wearing off, and they don't trust you anymore, and you don't take any blame for any mistakes that you made as a coach in the post-game presser, which just seemed like you kind of rambled today, and I got kind of turned off asking questions because somebody asked him a question. And he just kind of just rambled on it and didn't really give an honest answer about it. You know, maybe we'll see what happens here. But it's a great chance for Jimbo to evaluate not only his team, but also his coaching staff. And like, he's not going anywhere. I know people are real disappointed in him. He just signed what is effectively, it's an 8-year, but it's really effectively a 10-year fully guaranteed contract. Jimbo is not going anywhere. Nobody can really force him to make any moves. He doesn't have a boss over him who can make him do anything here. I know you guys want Charles Kelly fired, or Bill Miller fired, or Rick Trickett, or Lawrence Dossey, or whomever. The only real way that happens, I think, is embarrassment and pride. Or perhaps withholding money from building the new football facility, which I know they want, and that's, it's probably easier to get built if you're winning 11, 12, 13 ball games a year than if you win 8 or 9. But we'll talk more about that later. I come away from this game sort of annoyed because it was just imminently winnable. And yet also realizing that they weren't that far off from winning it. You know, they moved the ball better than NC State did on the day. They just screwed up in the red zone. That happens sometimes, and it sucks to accept that as just a random thing. But there is a random element to it. If you watch baseball, there's the concept of sequencing. And think about it like this: I'd rather, if I'm going to get 9 hits in a game, right? Do I get 1 per inning, or do I want them to all happen at once? I feel like NC State, they were able to just put theirs together all in a row, as opposed to having, like, you know, a nice play here and a nice play there, but spread out more over other drives. If you look at NC State's drives, it was basically just feast or famine for them. 58 field goal, 76 touchdown, 80 touchdown, 63 field goal, 75 touchdown. The other drives, 8, 4, 2, 3, 31, negative 3, negative 5, 11. You know, that to me is really kind of striking. They didn't have like any wasted yards at all. And that's not necessarily something that a team can control. There is a decent luck element in this. And I'm telling you, I think this Florida State team is better than most of y'all giving us feedback think. Look at Florida State's 64 fumble, 39 field goal, 44 field goal, 68 field goal, 23 field goal attempt, 75 touchdown. You know, they had a lot of yards that didn't end up in touchdowns. There is kind of a random, you know, like you only have that many opportunities down there. You're going to have some games where you're 6-0, and you're going to have some games where you're 6-6. It's just tough. It's very tough to accept that, I think, as a fan. So anyway, I will talk to y'all on Monday. And if you enjoyed us, please give us those good ratings on iTunes, and we will see you later.